welcome along to another episode of Hosting, the podcast all about hosting and guesting, friends, family, the occasional foe. We are recording in New York City. Carly, you've been here for 6 days now, and I'm Guy, by the way, and I mean, it's been another action-packed day. I thought we couldn't have topped yesterday, but we really got out there and saw the city, huh?
I absolutely, Guy. I mean, welcome back, everybody. I am probably the most exhausted I've been on this whole trip. I feel like from dawn until dusk, we saw every tiny little grain that this city has to offer up on our plate.
And a city with such rich history that has truly charted its own course, you know, in terms of being a place with a very distinct sense of identity.
Following in the footsteps of other cities before it.
In parts, yeah, but certainly I think by and large, you know, a city like no other. We started the day in Chinatown and, you know, had some of the most delicious food. There are some courts, some basketball courts down there. We watched some of the, you know, the local pickup teams playing games against each other, and the standard of basketball they were playing was really incredibly high.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's amazing to see, you know, just how much the sport has caught on here in New York, you know. So far from its homeland, you know.
Basketball?
Mm.
Yeah. Where's the homeland of basketball?
A little place called Sydney, New South Wales, Australia, Guy.
I don't.
Yep. It's why it's called basketball.
No, it's called basket because the goal is to put the ball through the basket.
And where do you think that comes from, Guy? It comes from the Basket District in Sydney.
The Basket District.
Yep. Early 1810s, 1820s. The Basket District. Look it up. Used to make a lot of baskets down there, and occasionally they would have a basket in which the luntine, that is the bottom of the basket, would fall out. And they'd pop that up on a tree and they'd take turns throwing rocks into it. And they used to call it basket rocks. And as a world language evolves, so it became basketball and then basketball. And there we are.
Wow.
Mm.
And do you think the standard or quality of you know, play that we see here and or we saw here in New York this morning is comparable to
as good, if not a little worse?
Because after we I mean, this was much later in the day, but we toddled our way uptown to Madison Square Gardens. We
That's
watched
right.
the New York Knicks, mm-hmm. you know, play basketball against the Milwaukee Bucks.
I want to say Milwaukee.
Say what you like, and I mean that was a real display.
Mm.
And again, you
had some good basketball.
Yeah, you were really blown away by the not just the professionalism, but also the sense of spectacle that.
Oh yeah, I mean, what an incredible stadium! You know, is that am I using the right word?
Yeah, I think it's more of an arena than a stadium, but
it's certainly not a garden. You know. Certainly not a garden in the way that I would use that word.
Yeah.
Madison Square? Makes sense. Garden? I think you were looking for the word arena.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the few points that I think we can agree on with regards to, you know, place names and the history of New York.
Mm.
But yeah, it's been, I mean, what else did we fit in?
We went to the Smithsonian.
That's right.
And my word, what an incredible place.
You really saw that at pace.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, I don't think I've run so fast in my life to date.
Well, it was pretty distressing for a lot of the other, you know, visitors and certainly the security staff.
Oh, they were boggled by it. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I'd go further than boggled. They were really irate with you. But so quickly were you moving, it was almost impossible for them to lay a hand or a word on you.
Oh yeah, I felt like a spring goose covered in oil. They just couldn't catch hold of me, you know, just slipping, weaving, ducking.
Did you take in any of the gallery itself?
Oh, partially, yes, yes. A lot of bones, plants, dinosaurs, you know, all of that.
And
specifics, no.
Moving too quickly?
Too quickly, yeah. Just a shame. Because, you know, you spend 4 hours in a museum, you'd hope you'd come away with something, but...
I did sort of say you could slow down and we could take it in at a more leisurely...
That's just the way it is, isn't it? It's just the way it is.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, but it is.
Let's use an American saying. It's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Of course, in Australia, you say the way the biscuit crumbles.
The biscuit breaks. The way the biscuit breaks.
And you were surprised to see cookies in America.
I was, yeah. You know, a treat that I've known and loved my whole life, biscuits, here in the US. It's, you know, it's like walking out of your house one day, you know, in Sydney or in Melbourne or New York, and you run into a friend from your hometown and they tell you they've been living next door for 10 years. You know, it's like exactly like that, just running to these biscuit shops, cookie bakeries, and, you know, wild time. Absolutely wild.
We also, at my insistence, went on the Sex and the City bus tour, which was, again, a huge amount of culture shock for you.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even heard of the city, let alone, you know, the sex in it, or the series. So
yeah, popular television series, yep. Carrie Bradshaw and some friends, mm-hmm. They sort of navigate life together as single women in the Big Apple. And, you know, you get to see the facade of Carrie Bradshaw's apartment. You get to go to some of the bars and the places that the characters actually hang out with in the show. And for any fan of Sex and the City, I got to say, it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, and for any people who aren't aware of the show, just sort of a mind-boggling exercise in just being taken around and shown things you have no interest in or investiture into whatsoever.
You still get to see parts of the city that you might not otherwise have seen.
And oh, true. Yes, yes.
You know, you get to make friends with the other people on the tour, the tour guide. You
and
know.
Weren't they keen to talk about the show?
Well, naturally, the tour is about the show and the characters contained therein. So it's. I mean, it's something that everyone has in common with each other on that tour. So.
And I had a lot of fun pretending to know the show very intimately and to knowing about episodes that people must have forgotten. I made them feel that they'd forgotten them or they had missed them, you know.
You were impressively persuasive in that respect. It certainly threw our guide off, who had a pretty tough go of it by the end, trying to sort of compete, I guess, once again with your version of the tour.
Yeah, I was really, really undermining his authority, you know, really from the get-go, just kind of, you know... He would say something like, oh, and over here is where, you know, such and such scene from episode 6 was filmed. And I would say something like, really? You know, oh, okay, interesting. That kind of thing. You know, really just throw him off his game.
Yeah, and I guess the confusing thing was because they'll identify the landmark and say this is where, say, you know, Carrie and Big share their first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And this is supported by video evidence playing on the screens on the bus. That I mean, you know, and absolutely undeniable evidence that this is the place where it's happening. Yet you were still insistent,
really getting in his head. You know, I'd say, "Oh, okay, that's okay, funny. Yeah, that's funny." Because I'm pretty sure it was on the other side of this square. You know, that kind of stuff. Just really
little
mucking
details,
around,
fudging the facts.
Yeah. It was good fun for me. You know, I loved it.
Would you recommend the tour? I mean, do you have any interest in checking out the show after having been?
You know, I do kind of want to watch the show. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good time. It certainly represents a moment in our culture. And I mean, as someone who, you know, you've got tremendous gaps in, you know, your pop culture canvas. I mean, to have missed everything that America's produced is, frankly, quite impressive.
Well, you know, I'm not a hero guy.
I guess the word impressive is probably, you know, it's too easy for people to choose how they interpret its meaning. I would maybe opt to say instead pretty confusing.
Okay.
Or unlikely. I was not trying to insinuate that you were any kind of hero.
Well, there you go. Not a hero guy.
And this, we can agree.
Yeah, you know, I do look forward to watching it. It'll be fun to catch up on this city that I've come to really, I guess, feel at home here, you know? I've only been here 6 days, but it's grown on me.
Do you feel at home?
Yeah, I do. I started to get to know the street that you live on, you know, the people in the shops, certainly the bodega, you know, the place where I get my morning coffee, you know, the donut spinner, you know, the burger flipper, you know, the happy hot dog stretching gentleman.
All these people who really make up the fabric of New York and represent what the city truly is and has to offer.
Yeah.
It's so much more than just, you know, it exists as an idea before you get here. But when you're on the ground, boots on the ground, you really do get a sense for living here and for life itself. The joie de vivre that is unique to New York.
Oh, certainly, Guy. It is a city, and it's a city full of people, and each of those people are a city unto themselves, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it's been a special time.
Would you recommend anything else from today? I mean, the Madison Square Gardens experience. I feel that, you know, as the blank canvas that you are, you're uniquely positioned to highlight to anyone listening along who's looking not just for tips on hosting, but things to do when you're visiting. Anything in particular stand out to you as worthy of recommending?
Look, I had my first American Yankee Doodle Doo hot dog today, and let me tell you this: if you're gonna go to Madison Square Gardens, go with an empty stomach because you're gonna want to have one of these hot dogs. It's a if you can imagine this, it's not a dog, but it is hot, and it's a long bun, like a finger bun, but cut split down the middle. And it's filled with a Frankfurter, quite long, not your usual, you know, not your little Frankfurter you're picking up from the butchery for the kids. No, this is a long one, and it's covered in tomato sauce, a little bit of mustard, and if you're lucky, you get some fried onions on that, and heavenly. What an incredible invention.
You'd never heard hide nor hair of that. You hadn't had one of these before.
Never seen it. Never tried it.
Not even in Sydney?
No. And I think I could take this back and make quite a pretty penny.
I think they've already got hot dogs in Sydney.
Well, it's news to me, Guy. It's news to me because, I mean, I had one bite of this thing and I thought, wow, I really am on the other side of the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are, a mystery wrapped in an enigma.
And wrap that in a long, thin white bun. Put a little tomato sauce and mustard on it. You get yourself a good time.
Absolutely. Wow. So, of everything you've done in New York so far, that would rank near the top of recommendations?
I'd say that's right up there.
Have a hot dog.
Have a hot dog, yes. Don't give yourself too much of a treat. Just one will be fine, I think.
Will you have one again later tonight or tomorrow?
Not for years, no. I'd like to savor this for as long as I can.
Surely if you enjoyed it so and they're readily available, you could...
I would worry that having a second one might dilute just the pure joy I experience in every mouthful of this hot dog. And I would hate to spoil that, you know, with some bastardization of another hot dog, you know?
And, you know, fair enough. Fair enough to you. For that, I also took you to the local bar not far from where I live called Birdie's, oldest bar in Bushwick. And we did the photo booth and we had a few tall boys. And it was really nice as host to sort of, you know, put down my card or the credit card I had on my person at the time and treat you as a guest in not just my shared apartment but also my shared city. And I think it's these sorts of things, these little flourishes and touches you can put on as a host that really do create a more, that elevate an experience from just, you know, being a visitor or being a tourist to being a visitor, to being someone who's really made to feel welcome.
That's it, Guy. I mean, I think when we got to Birdie's, that experience more than any of the experiences we've had over the last 6 days, that experience really to me, it shows that... I'm not just seeing New York. I'm seeing a bit of Guy's New York. You know, I'm seeing the New York.
That's really nice.
You know, that Guy has lived in, that Guy has experienced, that Guy has been a part of And that was a really wonderful thing to get to see, you know, to get to see New York through your eyes.
And mixing and mingling with the locals.
You know, you knew the bartender. They said hello. There were people that you'd seen before.
Some of the more friendly people I've come across here. And I don't know why it took until day six before I dragged you down for an icy cold one. Because truly, of all the places I've been, that is maybe where I've felt the most welcome.
Well, that... There's a word in German which, again, no one there seemed to understand at the bar, and it's gemütlich. You know, it's the feeling of comfort in a small space with friends sharing a good time. It's a very hard to translate word, but that's what I felt there with you at Birdie's tonight. Just, you know, that kind of contentedness that you can only get when something is truly comfortable with a friend. And so, yeah, I mean... That's what I would say is my biggest takeaway from this hosting experience is, you know, you don't only see the city, but you also see the city through the eyes of your host. You see a version, a palimpsest, if you will, of the city.
That's I'm sorry, I've got goosebumps. That's really sweet. And to think of our shared history and... You know, for you to be able to say something like that, and for me to be able to show you an experience like that, I think it really shows a grace, a maturity, and a certain mutual humility that you know, we are adults in the sense we can let these, you know, mistakes of the past or miscommunications of the past wash over us, and we emerge, you know, with a fresh perspective and fresh eyes.
Yeah, that's it, Guy. I mean. We have done things unto each other, you know, mentally, physically, that would break any friendship, you know. But what we lost in the fun of those experiences, in the doing of those things, was care, you know, and how important it is to foster care and love, you know. You can't be a host
absolutely
without a sense of respect and of love.
100%. And I'm not too proud to say I regret things I said or did or ways I behaved. To look back on that now, I almost don't recognize myself. And I, there's a certain amount of embarrassment and shame I associate with that time in my life. And I feel as a person totally independent of who I was.
Oh, God, look. Don't apologize. You know, it means a lot to me that you have apologized. And I too feel sorry for the things that I have done in the past. You know, as in my capacity of host, I think I betrayed, you know, a lot of the friendship. And I too feel like through this experience, I've crossed into a different level. But I would say don't apologize, Guy, because those experiences of hosting, those experiences helped us become the people we are today. Caring people who love each other, the world. They can engage with people, with strangers, and see them not as just strangers in the street, but as friends, as new people.
Absolutely, we're not defined by our mistakes. Every mistake is a teachable moment. It's a learning opportunity, and yeah, it's been a really wonderful day, and I guess I'm high on endorphins from all the walking or something. But I really feel it's almost too twee to say that I'm operating on a higher plane of existence than I was. But I do think that we are in a really great and healthy physically and mentally spot.
Yeah.
To
God, I don't think it's twee at all. I mean, I think that really registers. I feel like. We're functioning at a level, you know, somewhere above our day-to-day goings on. You know, we've really zoned in and we've found something there in our friendship. We've taken it to a next level, and I think that's the power that good hosting has. You can take a friendship into just a whole other trajectory.
You really can. And you know, on top of all of that, I was really pleased to see that June and Murtagh sort of. Still incredibly drowsy and really dehydrated, but moving, stirring, waking, and it's so heartening, isn't it?
It is, you know, born into the world renewed, you know, a rebirth, if you will. They've gone through almost death, and to come out of that fresh, doughy-eyed, confused, into a new day. You know, it's a special moment.
It really is. We obviously, while they were asleep and between all of the touristing, we stripped the walls. We took down all of Mark's photos. The apartment in which they were guesting and sleeping would be all but unrecognizable to them.
Yeah, not a single element of Mark's former life is left in that flat. It's a different place to where they fell asleep, you know?
And yeah, it's a different energy. And I mean, you know, seeing anyone confused can be adorable, but to see two people who've been unconscious for 32 hours, just really sort of rediscovering their bearings. And for part of that rediscovery of bearings to be, you know, looking at their son still trapped within this full body cast, soup smeared across his stupid fucking face,
big colorful lips and a crazy kind of face painted onto his cast, which we took the liberty, we had a bit of fun, we dressed him up.
Yeah,
we used some old makeup and things, and
we also took the trouble of melting the ice cube in which we'd put the engagement ring, and we just slid that over June's finger, and the confusion that's caused between husband and wife, and certainly mother and son, is it's one of those things you can't put words on. What's that credit card they say? There's some things money can't buy, that's one of those.
Oh, absolutely, Guy. You know, this is the kind of moment where you look out and you see a confused, scared family waking up in a terrifying place that they have no recollection of, and you're watching them piece together the moments of their lives, confused, angry, scared, and you think, this is what humanity can be. You know, we can get pressed right up against the wall. We can be thrown out to the wolves. We can have our drink laced with poisonous amounts of arsenic and cyanide, and we can get so sick that we pass out for hours. You know, we can have our money stolen, we can have our precious jewels thrown into a hub, but at the end of the day, we will prevail. We will come through it better, happier, in a knowledge that
a greater appreciation for humor, a more refined and developed sort of comic sensibility. And also, I would like to say that, you know, Mark and Terry and Fiona, they seem to be incredibly grateful for the way we sort of bundled up all of her possessions in a trash bag and just put them on a random subway carriage and sort of send them out into New York City to be discovered by, well, whoever, wherever.
Yeah.
Well, I say grateful, you know, that I think that they...
If they knew,
they would be. And, you know, while we did get their room number and, you know, obviously we have been listening into all of their phone calls and who they've been in touch with, ironically, it's been very difficult for us to get in touch with them, which is, I guess it's just another one of those little funny little moments.
Yeah, life has its humours, doesn't it? You know,
it really does. But, you know, we've asked them on behalf of Mark by sending a text from his phone, to come around for a sort of, I suppose, just a group conversation that, as far as they know, we won't be a part of. A clarification, if you will, of everything that has transpired in the last sort of, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that, Guy. I'm looking forward to just seeing what happens when all these people are all confronted with the stark reality that has become their lives.
Yeah.
In just a short matter of not even a week.
Well, not yet. You know, it's you know, I didn't choose the prank life. The prank life chose me, I guess.
That's it, yes.
I'm a big Ashton Kutcher fan, and I love to laugh. And, you know, I'm really excited tonight to rewatch some of those old punked episodes and just see exactly how the pros do those reveals, because, you know, I remember Beyonce knocking down the Christmas tree, or, you know, all these little moments and the relief and joy on their face when they realize it's all a big prank. I think it's really going to be something special when we share that with them.
Absolutely. And that's the key word there, Guy. And it means the same in New Zealand, means the same in Australia, it means the same in America, and that's sharing, you know, and that's what we've done. We've shared. We've shared something special with this family. You know,
it's I feel like a kid on Christmas Eve. You know, and the thing is, the sooner we get to sleep, the sooner we wake up, and the sooner the day begins. So, I might turn in for the night if that's fine by you.
Me too, Guy. And let's just wait and see what happens.
I love you, friend.
Love you too.